Book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And tomorrow, I just wanted to let you know, we'll have a special speaker in tomorrow that he's looking to do some recruiting. And so we'll talk about that a little more at the end, but he'll preach for us as well. I love having people come in to preach for us who've been at it for a good while, been faithful, serving the Lord. And so we'll have that tomorrow. Looking forward to that. I don't want to tell you yet who it is, but excited that he can come. And along with many others who we'll have in here for chapel, I think I told you earlier, 12 people this semester from outside our staff coming in to preach for us, and always a blessing. So Luke chapter 8 this morning, and we're going to start in verse number 4. I didn't know where Pastor Mitchell was going to go last night, but he kept on referencing the sower and the seed, and that's my message this morning. I hope to use a very familiar passage this morning to point out some things that kind of hit me right in the middle of the face, you know, and it's not something that we often look at with the sower and the seed. And so I personally had not really noticed or studied it from this aspect before, and so I wanted to share that with you this morning, and the Lord's been burning my heart about this for weeks already. But here in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4, the Bible tells us, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus loved to speak in parables. I know Dr. Schreiber teaches Life of Christ, and in there's a lot of parables that that they discuss. And this parable is probably one of the most well-known of all the parables. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so there's some other things that go on in the meantime. Jesus continues his way around and gives other lessons about some other things. And then the disciples, when they catch him back in a private time, Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4 give this same account with a little slight different variations. And I've read all three accounts many times to try to kind of put together all of what was said. But in this passage, we see then Jesus and his disciples finally coming back together in verses 9 and following. Let's jump down to verse number 11. Now the parable is this, and I thought it was interesting, Jesus doesn't mention here the sower again, but the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So that'll be our main text that we'll get to eventually. So let's open in a word of prayer. That's the Lord's blessing, and of course, being our heart, being that where the seed goes into our hearts. Pray that the Lord will work on our hearts even today. As I preach a message, I call this cultivating the good ground. Cultivating the good ground. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us today as we look into your word, and Lord Jesus' very own words that he literally spoke to his disciples. And we have those, and he talked to them about their hearts. And I pray that today we would use the time that we have to cultivate our hearts. Make sure that we're cultivating the good ground in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. There's some in here today that need to make some decisions. I pray that all of us would make decisions for you. Please bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there's three main features in this parable, and they all start with an S. There's the sower, and there's not a whole lot said about the sower. In fact, there's very little said about the sower, but I still like the sower. I saw a lot of you yesterday sowing the good seed. And on Saturday, I love seeing all of the college students and even high school students and a whole bunch of church members taking this seriously of being the sower. There's a lot of work that goes into sowing. I grew up on a farm, and thankfully we didn't have to walk around, well, at least not after we left the Amish. We didn't walk around with a bag of seeds in the hot sun spreading the seeds around. We drove a tractor, you know, and we had a planter, and we had fertilizer on the planter, and we're sowing the seed. It was still hot, but at least it didn't have quite all the manual labor. But there's something really good about being a sower. And of course, since the seed is the word of God, we put the seed everywhere, don't we? I love seeing sowers putting the seed everywhere. I love when I would walk into the Burr Street, 25th and Burr gas station. And there, along where the food was, there was a tract from Fairhaven Baptist Church. I don't know if they still allow that or not, but a tract. And in the restrooms and in places around, there's tracts. We leave tracts. We leave the seed everywhere. And it's good for us to be involved in that. I love seeing sowers. Our verse yesterday was on my bus was John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And the neat thing was John 1:29, our bus number is 129. And so it was very fitting, you know, and so we kind of got the kids, tried to get the kids excited about that a little bit, but behold the Lamb of God. That's the sowing of the seed, John the Baptist pointing to Jesus. And everywhere we go, we should be sowing the seed, but there's not a whole lot said here about the sower. The second main feature of this parable, of course, is the seed. The seed is clearly the word of God. There's no question about that. I love to think about seeds and how one little seed has so much potential and really packs a punch. And the same is true with the Word of God. I hope you memorize Scripture. I hope you take the memorizing of Scripture, individual verses. I remember when I was a kid, we would memorize lots of Scripture, especially when I was a teenager. We had lots of competition. And I see you teenagers on Tuesday nights, a lot of you memorizing and studying a lot and reading. I heard somebody read the book of Galatians like hundreds of times. I don't know who I'm looking at, Olivia. Reading the Bible over and over, reading that. What is that? That's putting it away. And I don't know how often as an adult, middle-aged, the Word of God comes to me and little seed thoughts come to me. And I'm like, wow, that is really something. That is an amazing truth from God. Just one little verse. My dad, he love because of his background. He didn't get saved till he was 37 years old. And so he had always depended on his works. And so naturally he likes verses that talk about works not being necessary for salvation. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice who does all the saving. It's God. He washes. He regenerates. And so on. God does the work. Amazing little verse there. How about Galatians 2:16? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. These are Jews, Paul writing to Jews. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Man, there's a whole lot in that verse. It feels like you're repeating yourself over and over. But the truth is, we're not justified by works or by the works of the law. We're justified only by faith in Christ. That long verse has a lot of power there. And on. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You talk about seeds that produce long-lasting effect. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, that's always convicting. Every time I love Psalm 1, every time it's convicting. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Where's your delight? Where's my delight? How about Hebrews 3? When I became I think I was 12 or 13, the first time I went to our youth rally, and we had to memorize, well, they asked us to memorize some verses in the book of Hebrews. And these set of verses are one of those first ones. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. Something about the deceitfulness of sin. So, again, verses that pack a punch and little seed thoughts. I encourage you to memorize the word, but that's really not, as important as the seed is, that's really not the point of this parable. The point of this parable, of course, is about the soil. So you have the sower and the seed and then the soil. Look at verse number 12, if you would. Verse 12. Am I in Luke 8? Yes, I am. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Verse number 16. No man, sorry, not verse 16. I said that wrong. Verse number 15. There it is. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So your heart is the soil that God wants this seed to grow in. Our hearts are the soil. And so is the seed in your heart, is the seed of the Word of God working its effect upon you? So the soil is clearly the heart of the person. You know the difference between good soil and bad soil. I don't have a green thumb, that's for sure. I do not garden much. I know people that do. My dad is a very good gardener, and I've learned it takes a lot of time. It takes getting up, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock at the break of dawn, you know, sun's coming up in the morning. Some of you, I heard somebody say, you sleep so much you didn't know the sun comes up gradually. You thought it just pops in the sky. But out there working early in the morning, hoeing the dirt to loosen it up, putting water on it and saying, oh boy, there's some bugs on this, and putting some spray on it and this and that. It's constant husbandry. The Bible uses that term. It's work, and it's just nurturing it constantly. And so any of us have time for what we want to have time for, and I just don't have the want to, I guess, to be a good gardener. But I do enjoy some things about the garden. I do enjoy eating the fruit, right? The difference between good and bad gardening is the fruit that you get. The fruit, the produce that you bring in. So what kind of fruit are you producing? The soil outside in this parable, the soil has everything done to it. Okay, so you have the hard ground. What's the problem? Well, the hard ground is where people walk, and he gets tramped down. And I was in Nazareth, at Nazareth Village, the city of Nazareth, and they have this little field, and of course you have to pay to go into the Nazareth field. And you go in there, and it's a hillside, and it's got about, if I remember right, 4 or 5 terraces. And each of the terraces are probably about as wide from about me to the front row. And so that's what I picture when I picture this field. And there's not a whole lot of place to walk. You know, it's not like Illinois. You drive through Illinois, and as far as you can see are fields, or central Indiana or other places like that. It's not like that. Now, there are areas of Israel like that. You can go down into the plains, and you'll see some fields that are like that. But not on these mountainsides, hillsides, which is most of Israel. And so where do people walk on this field? They walk along the edges to avoid stepping, you know, patting down the hard stuff. I told you my dad has a garden here recently. My mom has gotten very forgetful. And so we were there about 3 months ago, and I was up in the garden, and Dad said, you want to pick some strawberries, you know, fresh strawberries, and he knows how to raise strawberries. Oh, yes. So we're pulling strawberries and eating them and so on. And I had heard Dad and Mom talk about missing Mom's glasses. Mom couldn't find her glasses anywhere. And how do you find glasses when you lost them? You know, you can't see to find them, and so now you're really up a creek without a paddle, right? So I'm looking down through the strawberries, and I'm picking strawberries and eating about half of them, you know. And all of a sudden, I look under the strawberry bush, and there's Mom's glasses in the strawberry patch. Man, oh man, my mom's very forgetful, and she couldn't remember taking her glasses off and leaving them there. But there's the patch and the garden, and everything's growing in it, and it's delicious, but what do? You stay along the edges. You don't walk through the middle of the garden unless you have to. You stay on the path, and that's the hard ground. What about, there's the other kinds, the rocky ground. That's the part of the field. You pull the rocks out of the field, and you throw them in a pile along the edges. I've grown up in Missouri, and in Missouri, there's lots of rocks in the field. My kids had the wonderful privilege a few summers ago. Dad disced the field, and every time you disc or plow the field, look what happens. Rocks, they grow out of the field, I think, and they come up to the top, and so he had a tractor with a big cart on the back of it, and my kids got to walk along, spend their wonderful vacation time picking rocks out of a field. That's what you do. Where do you put those rocks? Well, you haul them to a ditch that you're trying to fill to keep the runoff from going. Well, that's what the rocks were on the edges of the field. They pulled them out of the field and they threw them on the edge, and some of the seeds went there. The thorny ground, of course, has the thorns and the weeds growing out of it, and many other things than just what you planted there. I read one guy, he said, it's funny how there, you spend much time, more time in a garden pulling things out of the garden than you do putting things into the garden. And that's probably true. The thorns and the weeds, and then, of course, lastly, the good ground. So let me just mention a couple thoughts about each one of these. The hard ground, that hard, packed down dirt, of course, is a picture of hard people's hearts. You think about this. Every single day, every single weekend at Fairhaven Baptist Church, there are people of all four of these kinds of grounds. Their heart fits into one of these categories. And in the dirt out in the garden, everything kind of just happens to it. Things are done to it. I know that, you know, you can take what's dry and wilderness, and if you do the right things and you get some little bit of water flow going, you can take a wilderness and turn and put an oasis in the wilderness. But that's done to the dirt. So that's done from an outside. The dirt can't help itself. The dirt just sits there, and whatever's done to it is what's done to it. But not in this case, not in the true story that Jesus is telling. The good ground of your heart is produced by you. It's produced. It has to be cultivated from within. No, there's people on the outside that can do things and can cultivate as well, and obviously do. There's a lot of influence from the outside. Are you guys with me? Some of you are looking at it like you're studying the backs of your eyelids. You've got all of these outside influences, but you ultimately have to cultivate your own good ground. If you don't cultivate your own good ground, you'll remain hard or stony or these other kinds. So it's something that you have to work on every single week, every single day. Maybe right here today, there's people with hard ground. And especially on Sundays, I think the hard ground is a picture of the lost. That on Sundays, boy, the seed of the Word of God goes into their heart, and there's many, many distractions that the devil uses to snatch that seed away before it can take any root. That's what the devil's good at. The devil snatches that seed away. Well, yesterday I was, you know, it's always so disheartening to see people walk out. And you know that they need this, and they need to be born again. The preaching's about being born again. And here they're just disinterested. What has happened? The seed's there. The seed's going in, but they're not interested. The devil's got them in who knows what else. I mean, I saw a lady sitting there yesterday eating. And she was a grown lady, so I didn't want to interrupt her too much, you know, and create a scene in church. But eating, I mean, and I don't know, a granola bar or something like that. I'm thinking, oh, she needs this. Listen, that seed goes in the hard hearts, and the hard hearts just walk away, and it doesn't have any effect on them. Then there's the rocky ground. Look at verse number 13. Jesus describes the rocky ground. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe. So as I studied this, the first group, the hard ground, it doesn't have any effect on them. The stony ground, it affects them for a little while. The thorny ground for a little while longer. And then the good ground for a long time, which we'll get to. So just for a little while, they believe. Maybe there's some here today. Boy, you might have gotten saved when you were 17, 18, 19 years old. Sorry, college. High school, you might have gotten saved just a year or two ago. Oh, let's go. I'm all excited. Boy, you're new at this. Everything seems great. I remember when my parents first got saved, and man, the life change that that brought, you know. Of course, we went from having outhouses to having indoor plumbing. You know, that's a pretty big life change. But many other life changes, and it was exciting. I remember Dad constantly quoting Scripture, Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. I mean, this was exciting. But then you get older, and you get used to it. And there were people, I know of several people, who left the Amish with our family. And within a matter of a year or two, they were completely off into who knows what. They had the seed planted in their stony heart. Unfortunately, our church and college, our academy has those with rocky heart, ground in their heart. Some people start fast, grow quickly. The Bible says trouble comes to them. They have no root in a time of temptation. Boy, there's just the temptation of this world. And they say, you know what? I don't think this is really what I want to do. Let me ask you this. When you got saved, was there a desire to follow Christ? I mean, a real desire, realizing that your sin had separated between you and your God, and you wanted to get rid of those sins, and you wanted to follow Christ. I mean, if there's that desire, how can you quickly go back into the world? There's the rocky ground. There's the thorny ground, the soil that had seeds of other things growing up with it. By the way, most ground has all ground has other things in it. So I have, I built me some garden beds last fall, I built them this spring, and so we put good dirt in them. I mean, it was rich. It was, had lots of treatment for years and other things thrown into it. It had some ashes from my wood stove. Those are good to put some of those in. My wife's eggshells, she was saving eggshells to throw in my garden. That's crazy, isn't it? And just lots of things. I mean, this stuff, I mean, the dirt was rich and black and really ready to grow. And I don't know what happened, but I planted tomato plants in those, and they were very different than they were last year. They did not get big at all. I think I've learned my lesson. And so I'm not going to tell you all my lesson. But I think I learned my lesson and how to do things a little differently to have bigger tomatoes next time. But there's so many things that go into the dirt, the soil. What else is in there? Seeds, thorns, and weeds. And the weirdest thing, I had some of the things that came up out of that dirt. I have no idea how they got there. I've never seen them around here before. But here they come, popping up out of the ground. Listen, that the seeds of many things are in the good ground. Seeds of many things. You say, well, I don't know why I do or why I struggle with some of the things I do. Why I do some of the bad. Because my parents never did those things. Listen, there's weeds growing in your heart. The sin is there. The seeds of sin are from within. Young person, seventh grader, you can develop all kinds of weeds and thorns that you would have thought were never possible, but you can. Listen, our seeds, that the seeds that grow up within us of worldliness and the cares of this world and the greediness, and these are things that are all mentioned here in the scripture. Look at verse number 14. They're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Man, everything is fake. Everything is weeds and not the real thing, and it chokes out the real thing. Well, we got to be careful that we don't blame others and our parents and others for the problems that we have. I'm not saying there isn't influence. Of course, I influence my children. But the time's coming when a teenager has to step out and say, you know what? I'm going to cultivate my own good ground instead of depending on somebody else to cultivate my ground for me. Does God speak to you? He wants to. He spoke to Samuel. He speaks to children. He speaks to young people. He speaks to college students. He speaks to adults. Is he speaking to you? Well, sir, I don't know. Then he's not. If you don't know that God is working in your life and see him regularly working in your life, then he's not. God is real. His work is real. The thorns and the weeds are the cares of this world and the worries and the greed. This kind of ground looks maybe good for a little time, has some decent things in it, but over time, it's overtaken. Distractions. What kind of distractions are in your life stealing away from your walk with the Lord, stealing away from what would produce good fruit in your life? What kind of distractions are there? Well, cut those things out. Are you in the thorny ground overtaken by worldly desires? Mark chapter 4, don't turn there, but Mark chapter 4, that account of this passage gives a little bit more detail even about the deceitfulness and the devil. He puts all kinds of things in there to look good. I've had kids on my bus route before, and actually I did this yesterday. I found some weeds at a house, and as the girl came, this is dumb me, but as the girl came out of the house, I gave her a handful of weeds, and I said, a flower bouquet for you, and she looked at me, and she laughed, of course, but sometimes we think that way. Oh, I'm making my own flower bouquet. This is my life. I can do with it what I want. If I want to recognize a fescue weed as a flower, I can do that. Well, you can do that, but that doesn't make it a flower. It doesn't make it pretty. Doesn't make it a bouquet. Listen, what do you have in your life that is stealing away from the good ground? And then lastly, and this is, the most important thing, is the good ground. The good ground produces fruit. It produces fruit. By the way, tomatoes are a fruit. Y'all knew that, right? All right, let me show you. I have here some tomatoes. There's many kinds of fruit that are produced in our lives if we have good ground. Sometimes the fruit is small, and I have lots of small fruit this year. Little guys. I don't like small tomatoes. I grew up in a family where we ate tomato, when we had lots of tomato plants, and when we had tomatoes, we had tomatoes. And we'd eat these tomatoes, slice them, salt and pepper them on a piece of bread as a sandwich. And we eat a bunch of those. If you don't like that, I don't blame you. It sounds weird as all get out, but it's delicious. It takes me back to my roots, if you know what I mean. But some people have small fruit, and this is not good for slicing and putting on a sandwich. This is good for throwing in a salad. Have I told you what I think of salad? No, I haven't. Some people have bigger fruit. It's good. I mean, it's fine. You're producing fruit, but if this is all I could produce, I guess I'd be happy with it. But when I know that last year I had a lot of big fruit, I mean big tomatoes, in my yard, on the same basic ground, this is not acceptable. I can produce fruit. All of us are, maybe we can produce some fruit, but the fruit is little. Oh, yeah. That's the big one. Some of us produce fruit like this, big fruit. We have an impact on others. We influence people's lives. Big fruit. Here's another big fruit. Say, ooh, that looks good. Well, there's a problem. Some of us, we got some sour fruit. What do we need to do? We need to work on that. We need to remove that sour chunk out of there. And if need be, we throw the whole thing away, right? Sour fruit isn't good for us. Sour fruit hurts us and it hurts those around us. If I leave this in here long enough, it'll hurt everything around me. Whew. Some of us got fruit like this. Told you I had problems with my tomatoes this year. Oh, my soul. What happened to that guy? It's like two or three tomatoes somehow got joined into one here. I don't know. Now, does it taste good? Yeah. If you cut it open and you cut all those weird things out of there. Yeah, it's good tomatoes. But if our fruit, sometimes our fruit is a little odd. Thankfully, some of us, we're all odd to somebody. Just remember that. I know I'm odd to people and you're odd to people too, you know. But the truth is, are we producing fruit? I'm happy with fruit like this. I'm not as happy as I could be because I know it can produce better. But I'm happy with fruit. All right, wow. Do y'all like tomatoes? No, I'm kidding. All right. The good ground. What kind of ground is in your heart? And here's where I want to talk real quick about developing and cultivating the good ground. The good ground doesn't happen by accident. The good ground doesn't happen by others only influencing from without. The good ground happens from within. And so this good ground, it's the heart that has to be developed. David had a heart for the Lord. And the Lord looks on the heart. He knows the heart. The word honest here in verse number 15, which in an honest and good heart. The word honest there means literally, it means beautiful or handsome. Bible talks about David being a comely person. And what made him the most handsome was his demeanor, his attitude, his can-do spirit. Admirable, excellent, magnificent, praiseworthy, noble. What's your attitude like? If your attitude is like this, hey, let's go. Let's go. You'll be able to minister to people. You'll be able to go into a nursing home and cheer up those people who have not a whole lot going for them at times. And on our bus routes and reaching the lost. Listen, what's your attitude like? Honest. The word good there, a good heart. We like to say they got a good heart. I've said that about hundreds of people. I think they have a good heart. They just fill in the blank, right? We've all said that. What is a good heart? The word good there means a good constitution or nature. Pleasant, agreeable, joyful, excellent, honorable. Yesterday we went to the zoo, and my workers, I got to give them some kudos here. Man, we were busy up and down the aisle. You know, we had a good number on the bus, and we're working away. You know, we're serving all the food, and we do hot meatball subs. We don't do these cold cuts, you know, that nobody likes. How many of you like cold cuts? I don't. I like hot meatball subs with mozzarella cheese and whatever. I mean, but at the end of the day, I remember the last kid yesterday, last two children got off and got in the shuttle car with Mr. Brennan Fry, and I walked back on the bus and I went, woohoo! Zoo day is done! It's a long day, it's a hard day, it's a lot of work. But everybody kept a good spirit, a good attitude. Did everything go perfect? No. No. It can't go perfect on zoo day. That's impossible. But it went well, and everybody was excited and cheerful about those who we got to minister to. That's the good heart. That's an honest heart. Not only that, there's also a gleaning of the word. So first of all, and we saw there's a good heart. Secondly, there's also a gleaning of the word. Look at the next part. Having heard the word, keep it. They keep the word. That word keep there doesn't literally mean just to own it or just to have it, you know, but it means to possess it, to make it your own. When the good heart receives the seed, it receives it and it makes it its own. Young people need to make it their own. Make it yours, not your parents, not your authorities. Forget all that. I'm not saying forget your parents. But make it your own. Take that and say, you know what? I'm gonna study the Bible, and I'm gonna be serious about it, and I'm gonna take the advice of my parents and my leaders, and I'm gonna work on studying the Bible for myself, and I'm gonna develop this for me. I gotta make it my own. Possess it, keep it. And of course, that means it goes against what everybody else says sometimes. Keep it for yourself. Listen, I'm not talking about taking good, godly people and saying, you know what, I'm keeping you at arm's length. I'm going to make my own decisions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking the world and their philosophy and the people that you can't trust and saying, you know what, I'm going to guard what I've been taught from you. I'm going to keep this in my heart, and it's going to be built, and it's going to be take this old hard dirt, and it's going to make it soft, and my heart is going to get softer to the things of God. There's a real push these days for everyone to have their own truth. So I'm not talking about having your own truth. I'm talking about having biblical truth made your own. I want this college, I want this church to be a place that we don't cover for sin. Sin hardens. Sin is the stony ground. Sin is the thorny ground that produces all this other things, all these vile things in people's lives. I don't want to accept sin in my life and in my midst, in my responsibilities. I don't want sin to have a foothold. So we ought to reject sin. What kind of ground do you have in your heart? Do you have one that rejects sin? One that says, you know what, these weeds and these other things got to go. I'm going to doctor this ground of my heart. And I'm going to put some fertilizer into it. And I'm going to put some eggshells in it. And I'm going to put some fireplace ashes in it over time and work it and water it. And it's going to become better and better. That's what we're supposed to do with our heart. What do with the heart? Look at the last phrase there. And bring forth fruit with patience. That's the key word there, I think, is the patience. It takes time to produce good fruit. Man, I had these tomato plants. I had to wait until it got warm enough to go in. And then, you know, I'm gone with Jan some. I forget all the details, but I was gone. We had a lot of things going on this summer. And I feel like I kind of came back and my tomatoes were, you know, little runts, you know, not very big. Well, what's the problem? I didn't have the time or the dedication to put into those things. If I'm going to have the right kind of fruit in my life, it takes time and working it and a lot of energy to produce good things. Do you take the seed of the Word of God seriously? Do you take it seriously? Do you doctor it and work it and prepare it and think about it? And it germinates within you and you love it and you care for it. Listen, I'm not saying we ought to do that with a garden, but man, we sure should do that with the seed of the Word of God. And it's real to us and it's important to us. There's a generating of this fruit with patience. Patience is long time. I got to wait for it and wait for it. And finally, about 3 weeks ago, my tomatoes started coming in. It takes time to produce good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. As it takes time to produce that, the fruit, the reproducing of Christians to talk to others and see them come to salvation, it takes time to produce that. It takes years, years of faithfully serving the Lord to see real long-lasting fruit. Man, yesterday was a real blessing. I don't know. I'd love to see more of my past bus kids stick with it. But yesterday, there was three people in church that came up to me that I was their bus captain over 20 years ago. Now, they're not serving the Lord. I wish they were serving the Lord more. But they're at church as an adult. They came as a child. I would never have seen that if I hadn't stayed with it. stayed with it. It takes a long time to really produce a strong, strong fruit, a tree, an oak tree. It takes long to produce that. And that's what we're trying to produce, fruit with patience. Saturday commitment. Let me just encourage you, make your Saturdays a day of investing in people's lives. You do that, you won't regret it. I mean, Edmund and I were out on a Saturday, and I got to thinking, you know, how long I've been here at Fairhaven, and all these Saturdays that we've gone out door knocking and bus visiting and things. I mean, it's over 1,000. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's a huge number. That just is nothing special. It's just doing it. Every Saturday, bus meeting. Every Saturday, let's hit the road. Let's get out and go knock on doors. I don't always feel like it. Sometimes I have a headache. It's just what you do. I'm just part of a system. I get that. But there's no regrets from that. There's no regrets. I could waste my Saturdays washing my car and my house and whatever. I could get a million things to do. But ministering and serving the Lord, you come to where I am. I feel like an old man saying this, but you come to my point and I say, I don't regret this at all. Let's go. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. There's nothing wasted about that. Fruit with patience. What's your soil? What's your heart like? Do you have good soil? You know if you do. You know if there's cares of this world that need rooted out. You know if there's riches or greed or whatever. Your own pride says, ooh, I want to build a name for myself. Man, uproot those things. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about the Lord's work in you. And it's about people's lives that are actually affected if you're right with the Lord. So will you uproot those things and work on your heart? Plow up the dirt periodically and add some things to it to make the soil of your heart conducive to producing good fruit. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen, well, God's will was for me just to be like that little bitty tomato all my life. No, no, God wants you to produce more. He wants you to work at it and to cultivate your good soil. It's determined, your good soil is determined by you. Other people can influence it, but it's really up to you and the Lord. Will you give your soil, your heart to the Lord and say, do something with my heart. I want to produce good fruit. I don't want to be dried up and shriveled and producing nothing. I don't want to be in it for me. I want to be in it for the Lord. Will you give that to the Lord and let him work on your heart? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll give an invitation here. Is the Lord working on your heart about some things this morning? Is your heart prepared to seek the Lord? Are you working on things? Are you cultivating? Sometimes it takes some uprooting, some weeds, and some things out of your life. Will you give your life and your heart to the Lord? Let him just work you over. Man, that produces fruit. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.